Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to Season 3, Episode 19. This one's called Captain's Holiday. It was directed by Chip Chalmers, great name, written by Ira Stephen Baer, and it aired back on April 2nd, 1990. In this episode, Captain Jean-Luc Picard is talked into taking shore leave on the resort planet of Ryza, where he finds himself drawn into an archaeological adventure with a woman of questionable ethics and pursued by a nefarious Ferengi. This one's called Captain's Holiday. We're going to be joined by Modi Operandis yet again. He was just here last time with Allegiance, and he's come back for Captain's Holiday. We're going to get into this Indiana Jones slash Dixon Hill slash crazy slash sitcom episode right after this.
Welcome back, Deanna.
It's good to be back. The last 2 weeks have been grueling.
I take it the captain was able to negotiate an agreement mutually beneficial to both parties.
He was. I don't know how he managed it. The Jumerians and the Dacolids are both incredibly stubborn people.
The more difficult the task, the sweeter the victory.
Go to Warp 4, Mr. Bennett. Set course for Starbase 12. Report.
Everything's status quo, sir.
Very well. If anyone needs me, I'll be in my ready room.
Sir. Congratulations.
About what?
About the trade agreement.
Huh.
Is it my imagination or something bothering the captain?
He has been under a great deal of strain lately. While we were on Jamaris, he ate sparingly and slept even less.
Anything we can do?
Actually, I have a solution in mind, but I doubt he'll agree to it.
What would that be?
Our captain needs a vacation.
Hey, Modi, are you ready for a holiday?
I'm ready for a holiday.
You're ready for a holiday.
Captain's holiday.
Captain's holiday. You know, it's time. I think our captain needs a holiday. Guys, welcome back to the Penske Podcast. We're talking about Captain's Holiday, if you haven't guessed it from that subtle introduction. We're joined by Modi Operandis. Modi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, welcome back. We just we had Allegiance right before this one. We gave that one. You gave it a 3.5. I gave it a 3. Now we're up to yet another Picard episode. We've had two Picard-centric episodes in a row. This one's called Captain's Holiday. Let's see. Is there any way... I'm going to give you a fact here. Not a fact, it's my opinion, but let's see how you react to it. This episode has the single worst cold open teaser out of all the TNG episodes.
Yeah, it's like, the captain needs a vacation. Dun, dun, dun.
It is such like a sitcom 80s thing.
Oh my God.
And when, I don't understand why the line, when Deanna Troi comes back on and Riker goes, Deanna, welcome back, and then like walks her like he's the belle of the ball or something down the thing. It doesn't make It doesn't make any goddamn sense why that's happening. Yeah, this is Captain's Holiday though, where Captain Picard is a little bit stressed out, and the crew sort of forces him to take a vacation on the pleasure planet of Ryza. And while he's there, Picard meets someone named Vash, I think is how you pronounce her name. It's spelled Vash, but you pronounce
Vash.
It Vash.
Vash.
Who is a treasure hunter, and she's trying to find this device from the future while evading a Ferengi and people, cops from the future, I guess is the best way to describe it. And Picard helps her find this thing, and that's about it. That's the episode. So, Modi, what are your general thoughts on Captain's Holiday?
I liked this episode.
Did you?
I did. I would actually watch a spin-off of Vash doing like Indiana Jones stuff.
Yeah.
Like all the time. That's basically what it is. It's Vash is the Indiana Jones in this. Picard is like the Everyman character, and it works. I don't know. I like it. It's enjoyable. It's not like anything particularly good about it. It's very like pulpy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like it. I don't know. I'd watch this. I'd watch it again and again. Do more Indiana Jones episodes of Star Trek.
Do more of this. Well, a couple
Space
things.
Jones.
A couple things here. This
this episode to me feels like it could have been they were trying to spin off the show almost. It feels like one of those episodes.
It feels like that. Yeah, it feels like that.
Where, you know, Picard is going to... They basically took Picard and stuck him into some world that is totally not the show that he's really on.
Yeah.
And now they're going to try to spin it off as something else. This episode has an incredibly odd, but not in a bad way, tone to it. The mm-hmm. entire way. The intro before Picard gets to the planet is basically like a sitcom production. It's everything is played for laughs. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And it might be the funniest the show has ever done comedy in some ways.
Even after he gets to Risa and he's like trying to read his book, there's a lot of that same kind of stuff of sitcom type scenarios going on.
Right. Like the character is so exasperated and everyone just keeps coming and stopping by and getting him more and more exasperated.
Uh-huh.
The other major thought I have, besides the fact that the cold open here is appalling.
yes.
This, I don't know if the costume designer just did a bunch of coke and then came into work on this episode because the outfits he has these people wearing are absurd.
Yes. It's what's the one we watched in season one with the
Justice.
It called?
Justice.
Just it's almost to that level.
It's like it's Justice mixed with like pirates. Like everyone kind of looks like a pirate there.
Just a little pirate.
My wife,
definitely has a pirate garb to him for sure. Yeah,
he's wearing like a. It's like a shirt that you'd buy for like a 3-year-old. Like it's like all bright colored triangles and like very odd looking.
It's like a Hawaiian shirt for space. I think the idea is.
And the thing that Picard is wearing when he goes off the ship, it's like a turquoise. Like,
oh, it's got lines on the one side.
Yeah, it's like billowy. Yeah. My wife was watching it and asked if she said he looks like he's wearing the puffy shirt from Seinfeld. I think it is.
I was having that exact same thought. Like, why does somebody in the future dress so crazy? Like,
right,
they can't. Like, they're trying to reinvent the shirt, and it doesn't seem like it needs reinventing because it seems pretty functional.
I know. But you think they? I was actually thinking at work today because I always thought the same thought. I was like, why did they go so? Like, it's obviously the set designer is like, I'll make a crazy future shirt. But I was thinking in the future, I would imagine, I kind of imagined like the casual wear of the crew would be like, I imagine Picard wearing like a mock turtleneck, kind of like Steve Jobs or something. You know,
sure.
Like, I imagine him just wearing something like that. Instead, he's wearing
still kind of formal, but yeah, it would fit his personality for
right,
sure.
Right, exactly. Like more streamlined than anything.
Yeah.
Not
sleek,
just,
but not like he's going to just lay about the beach or something like that. Yeah.
Right. With such a low cut, it looks like a woman's shirt. Like, why is
yes.
the shirt cut so low?
Why is he wearing a blouse?
Why is he doing this? And then he's wearing, like, a Speedo, basically, in some of the more awkward shots of he's wearing a billowy shirt with, like, a Speedo on as he's sitting outside.
One side is longer than the other on that shirt? That white shirt he has over his when he's wearing a Speedo, it's one side of the shirt is longer than the other. I guess it's so it wraps around.
Oh, really?
But he never wraps it. I don't know why. It just looks odd that one side of the shirt is way longer than the other side.
Yeah, he doesn't wear it properly. But
no,
I
don't think so.
Well, before we get into this, and these are just some funny things. This was not the original I think this is the most interesting fact about this. So this episode was not the original concept for the show. This show was written by Ira Stephen Baer, who had previously written on Yesterday's Enterprise, and he has one credit after this. But Baer is more well known for being the showrunner of Deep Space Nine in its later run. So he's prominent throughout Star Trek. And he's sort of an odd character. He's one of the more unique characters of the writing team. This is not his original concept. His original concept was Picard goes on vacation to Risa, which is a pleasure planet. And he somehow gets into a situation where he's reliving he's living through his greatest fear. And which seems weird for a pleasure planet. I don't know if something backfires or something, but his greatest fear is that he is somehow loses command of the Enterprise. So the episode is like this sort of introspective character work between Picard living through his great fear of losing the Enterprise while being on this pleasure planet, and it's sort of like
a very different concept.
It's a very different idea
than this one here. Wow!
So he pitched that, and it went to Roddenberry, and Roddenberry said in the 24th century, no one is concerned about their job. So he shot down that idea. And he said, but you know what? I like this pleasure planet, because Roddenberry was obsessed with sex. He's like, you know, we'll just do something here. And so they rewrote it. I think the original concept is much more interesting of a TV show.
I think it would be too.
And you've sort of shown your hand as to saying you like Captain's Holiday. I like Captain's Holiday. I don't think it's a good episode.
No, it's not a good episode. I like it.
Right. Like that's the dividing line when we give our ratings later. I don't think this is very good, and I don't think I could watch this episode a lot. I feel like you need like 2 years off in between watching it, kind of, to reappreciate how sort of odd it is. It just doesn't. It doesn't really sit as well as I was hoping that it would. What are a couple things that you really enjoyed about this one?
I just liked that it was an Indiana Jones movie. It's basically just the entire thing. The Ferengi guy is a Nazi. The trying to steal the artifact and Indiana Jones is Vash, and I just liked it. Like I said, I would totally watch a spin-off. If this was intended to be a spin-off kind of thing, I would totally watch the Vash Space Treasure Hunter Chronicles, whatever we're going to call it. I would watch that. It sounds interesting. She's a fun character, and it's interesting how she plays off of Picard, and seems like an interesting fit, and better fit than even like the Crusher stuff we saw last episode.
Yes, she's
the way they play with that.
She's unquestionably been the best romantic interest out of anyone that the show has done for any character, I think.
Well, they bring her back too, don't they?
They do.
She's a recurring character.
Yeah, she's in one episode of TNG and one episode of Deep Space Nine. So, she does come back. And I just think the actress does a good job of playing off Stewart. And it's also weird. It's also kind of nice that she's sort of age appropriate for him. Like, she's not young.
Yeah.
She's not super young. But she's attractive. She has like a. She has that sort of flirty personality that's kind of appealing, and you can see why Picard goes for it. I don't think she's particularly developed well. Like, do you think Picard is ever confused by her? Or do you think he sees through her from the start?
I think he's confused at the very beginning when she kisses him, and then he thinks he's like works there, quote unquote works there. There he's confused. After that, I don't know if she ever gets anything by him again. I think he's already onto her at that point then.
Right.
Because he sees through her little thing with stealing the artifact at the end there.
Yep.
The Tatu-ta, or whatever it's called.
Oh my God. Yeah. The Toxutats, I think.
Whatever.
All right. Let's talk about the Toxutat or whatever the hell it is. Why is it from the future?
I don't know. I don't know what the whole time travel thing here really bothers me, because it's like, didn't they cause him to find it, kind of? Because they came back and told him about it. He wouldn't be looking for it otherwise. So their whole like it's history to us because it's happened. But you guys are causing this to happen, so it doesn't. It's a paradox in your time then.
And
basically,
right. And it's weird that at the end, they kind of have this thing like, well, don't worry, we'll see each other again when they just redo this process and go back in time again. And it's like what a weird concept.
Yeah, I don't think it's like time travel featuring people that time travelers that don't fully understand how time travel works, I think.
Right.
Because they keep going back. It's like, oh, we'll do it again then. We'll find it next time. Like, no, wait, it doesn't work like that.
I guess in the original script, that was actually a part of the plot. These time travelers, they redid it once or something. And, like, I don't know if the first time Picard actually allowed them to get the thing or something happened, but they actually redid it. And I was reading the production notes were saying that it was just too confusing for the audience. The audience was having trouble tracking what was going on. But it's
lousy
just a
90s
weird...
audiences don't understand time travel shows. Come on.
Those aliens and the fact that the Toxutat is from the future add absolutely nothing to anything.
No, it could have just been like ancient artifact of unspeakable power.
Right.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
That they can't look at. They want to destroy it rather than it falling into enemy hands. Or hide in a warehouse, I suppose.
Right, and then just...
wash over by top men.
But it's like these time cops from the future don't even... They don't even, like, try to get it. They just, like, stand and talk at people. You know, it's not like they, like... It's not like they attack people or try to get it or... I don't even know, are they really cops or are they bad guys that are trying to get the thing?
That's never clear either. Like Vash brings up, like, how do you know they're not the criminals that stole it in the first place?
Right.
And
yep.
It's never fully addressed. After even Picard blows it up, they're like, all right, we'll get it later.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Next time, we're not going to fully explain our intentions here. And so can't tell you if we're good or bad, actually.
And what exactly is Transporter Delta 9 or whatever they call it? Transporter Code 14?
Yeah.
Is that just
code 16 or whatever? Yeah, exactly. He's like, Code 16. It's never been tried before.
Okay. Does it just blow it up, or did the thing blow up and they were transporting it off? I have no idea what actually happened there.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't know the transporter could do that. So
no,
it's good to know.
I don't understand the talk.
They should use that more often.
And how? I mean, we're just picking it apart. But how do the people
go for it?
How do the people of the past know about a legendary object from the future?
Yeah. Well, it came back to the 22nd century. So the guy that stole it from the future said he brought it back to the 22nd century. Yeah. So,
and then
I mean, it would have 200 years of history of being lost then or so. And then it would be all of a sudden the archaeologists are looking for it again because it's got, or it already has 200 years of history on it.
Oh, I see.
That's how it kind of comes around, I guess.
Interesting. Interesting.
It still doesn't make a lot of sense.
No,
but
I remember
them saying 22nd century.
It makes absolutely no sense. That's very, I just don't understand.
That's why you just got to turn your brain off. It's Indiana Jones, man.
Don't
worry about the particulars. It's an adventure. Go on the adventure. And even the shots in this was Raiders of the Lost Ark when they're digging in the hole and they're in this big backdrop with the thing behind them. It's totally where they're digging for the Well of Souls in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yep.
It's the exact same scene. And they're digging in the wrong place.
Right.
Just like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Perfect parallel.
No, it really is. It's... If you watch this just for that sort of like adventure-y spirit, where it really doesn't feel like a TNG episode.
It's
totally pulp. It kind of fits into the Dixon Hill thing because it's sort of
noir
a mystery.
Feel to it. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yes. It is very noir of a like a woman with information just falls in love
with
the
detective.
Right.
The dame walked in my office and wasn't expecting the ride was going to happen. Yeah.
Right.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
No one could have predicted what was going to happen.
It was exactly a Dixon Hill novel, except in an archaeological setting.
Yeah. He's just kind of mashed everything together. I mean, I kind of feel like what Bear did was he heard his feedback from Roddenberry. He was like, well, fuck that. I'm just going to do some like incredibly bizarre, tonally so strange thing, but
a lot of weirdness. Yeah,
what I do like about this one is I do like the fact that it is really a character strengthening episode for Picard, because Picard is totally in character for this show. This is kind of where his arc goes as a character. Like, he's going to become much more focused than they previously have on how he's like into archaeology and into sort of discovering these things. And they've paid it lip service in the past, but they've never really had him go on an adventure.
Yeah.
That starts to pay off a little bit more. They do start to have him do that much more frequently.
They convert him, even earlier in the episode, they're converting him from like nerd stuff. Like, he's going to go watch some symposium on clusters instead of as a vacation. But now it's actually like he's actually interested in history and archaeology, and that's something that comes up again and again in later episodes. And you're right, though. It does kind of strengthen the character of, this is a character who can't sit still, needs to be on an adventure. That's why he's a captain. That's why, even if when he's on a vacation, he seeks out interesting things.
Right.
Like, he could have told the guys that appeared to him, say, you're going to find this Tuk Sutat. He's like, I don't care. I'm still trying to read a book here. Go away.
Yeah,
he could have done that and still left it. But he seeks out the adventure when it's presented to him. He was curious. He's a curious guy.
He's a character whose light beach reading is Ulysses. Basically, you know, like that's his kind of thing. It's funny you mentioned him meeting the time travelers. He buys into the time traveler story very quickly.
Super easy, yeah.
He immediately
dropped the right names. They dropped the Tuk Sutat, which is something he's heard of. That's lucky for them that he actually knows what they're talking about. Otherwise, he'd be like, well, I don't know what that is, so bye. I'm going to go find a different room. Don't be here when I get back, or otherwise.
And, I mean, is what happened in this story important enough for people of the future to know Picard's name?
Yeah, that's a good question, too.
Like,
I mean, they're all like, you've fulfilled your destiny better than you know, Picard. Like, I don't know what you're saying there.
Right.
why is this legendary? You just blew up a thing that isn't going to matter now.
I feel like the Tox Utat is basically a nuclear bomb in the future.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there'd be many of them or something. Like, it's not really a relic to them. It's just a weapon. Where in the past, where Picard is, it is kind of a legendary relic because it's like
incomprehensible.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So it's, I don't understand why anything that happens here would be remembered in the 27th. Are they from the 27th century? Is that
27th century? That's correct. Yeah.
So I don't know why it would be memorable to them as to what they did, and I don't know if what he did is fulfilling his destiny. Did they want him to blow it up?
They're unclear on that too. They're unclear on a lot of things. We're vague about our moral intentions. We're vague about what this actually means for history. If you've just rewritten history, or if it happened, how it's supposed to happen.
Right.
And if it happened exactly how it's supposed to happen, then what did you guys come here for? Because you caused this to happen.
Exactly.
So again, paradox. You guys are just basically interested in wasting your time travel abilities to watch events that don't matter.
Yeah, needless to say, this is not yesterday's Enterprise level time travel. No. That is very clean.
No.
This is a little bit sloppy. It's not really the point, but it really
again,
just I find
pulp,
it,
yeah.
I find it distracting as to why they put it in at all. When I don't think it's necessary. You know, like
the time travel stuff, yeah.
Like you can just have the there. I would fix it by not having it be a Ferengi that's chasing them, but like someone who's actually threatening as opposed
actually
to
competent. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, and, just a small note that, the guy who, the Ferengi here is going to be the same actor who plays Rom throughout DS9.
Yeah.
Looks exactly the same.
Sounds exactly the same. Exactly. Yep. It's the exact same character. It might be the same character. Who knows?
Oh,
his name is, what's his name here?
Slovak.
What is his name again?
Slovak. Yeah.
Slovak, yeah. Yep. And that actually has a kind of Belloc ring to it of back to Raiders of the Lost Ark again.
It's
the betrayer character of, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's a very Eastern European sounding name that they give this guy. I thought it was weird that they called people Vorgons and there was a Horgon in this.
Yeah, very confusing Gons, yes.
a lot of Orgons basically happening here. And
the author got tired here a little bit.
Yeah, just
I can't name all this stuff.
It's one of those
no one's watching this anymore, anyways. Yeah,
just
find replace.
And I mean,
HNIV.
Do you find it a little bit awkward that Riker was trying to get Picard laid so drastically?
I can't tell if he was trying to get him laid or just pulling a prank on him.
Yeah, because Riker never told him to display the Horgon. He told him
to pick it up for me.
Yeah, pick it up for
me. But knowing what was going to happen, like, probably.
Mm. And
I don't know.
I need to see the X-rated episode of Riker on this planet.
That's another spinoff.
One of the greatest lines here is when him and Troy are walking Picard to the transporter room to beam him down. There's something like Riker says, "Have I ever mentioned the imagination of the women on Risa?"
Oh, yeah.
And Troy says something like, you mention it too much or something, or you never
stop
bringing.
Yeah, all too often. Yeah, something like that, yeah. All too often.
That is a fantastic
I like how sleazy
line.
He is in this one. Yeah, it's so good. Riker plays the best laughs in this, actually, because there's he beams down, and then Riker turns to Deanna, and he's like, "He's going to have a great time." it's such a good line. It's such good laughs.
Riker should just be like licking his thumb this entire, just doing something. Like he's really all about Risa.
He loves Risa.
I can't believe they never had a Riker visits Risa episode.
Oh my gosh. I think he gets like an ambassadorship there eventually after he retires from Starfleet command here. He gets an ambassadorship to Risa.
just,
I think
just hangs out there. The only other episode I know that features Risa is a Deep Space Nine episode, and it's terrible. So I don't. I feel like they never did this planet justice.
I looked it up, and there was some Enterprise episodes that feature it too.
Oh, really?
But it's like the before times, before it became the resort kind of planet.
The resort
I guess.
Stop. Yeah, it's
yeah.
It's a difficult concept to do on shows like this because the sets look terrible. Like they look like a early 90s sitcom set. It just doesn't look any.
That's probably what it was though.
Right.
I mean that definitely was. It was the hotel set from some 90s sitcom probably.
Yeah, it's just it. It's the same with the clothes. This is not what I'd imagine a pleasure planet would look like in the 24th century. Like it would be a little bit more high tech. Or like customized to people, like it would serve you instead of just being basically a day at the beach. Like it would be much more. and basically, like, they're not even prostitutes. Just, I mean, they're basically prostitutes, right? They just walk around.
They definitely are. They definitely are. They don't get paid, so that technically, I guess, maybe they just work at the hotel forever.
Maybe they do because is Ryza
on salary?
Is Ryza part of the Federation, which has never been?
I never really explained. I don't know. Yeah.
Was this the only pre-warp planet that they were like, fuck the Prime Directive, we're going down to Ryza.
Doing this.
We're
yes.
doing whatever we want. Oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah, it's, I mean, they find the thing. They have a nice little Vash and Picard have a nice little scene in a cave where they seem to sleep on a futuristic blanket that allows them to sleep on solid rock.
Yeah, it doesn't look very comfortable.
No, it doesn't look very nice at all. They share a kiss, and I think we're supposed to assume that they get their bone on, but it's never clarified.
I would assume that.
I would have to assume. And, yeah, I mean, that's... I guess the only other thing is that why does the future have ceiling fans in their rooms? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice that.
They have ceiling fans, and it seemed really ridiculous that they would have ceiling fans.
Also, the furniture, I just noticed it when she was picking up all of the furniture in her ransacked room.
Yep.
In Vash's room. It's just very, I don't know, the set is just bad.
Yeah, the set is garbage. This is a...
It's again, like the 90s view of the future or something like that, which you don't think would be that far off. Like, we knew that we've made these errors in the past. Like, we know, like, we look at the 70s, like, those movies of 2000, we know that's totally wrong in the 90s. So,
yep.
They should have been able to, like, say, okay, we're not going to do things too crazy, but they did things too crazy.
Yeah, always just go simple. Just make the future
simple. Everything's becoming simpler as you go along, actually.
Yeah, like, you know, back in Henry VIII's time, they were wearing, like, ridiculous, like, you know, tights and, like feathers and everything, but people aren't continuing to wear like more and more bizarre things. You eventually,
aside from the 80s, it's been a streamlined process of slowly getting simpler and simpler with everything you wear.
That was the cocaine. And I assume
that's probably it. Yeah,
I assume Ryza has cocaine just laying around everywhere, and we just never saw these shots of what's going on with the Vorgons and the Horgons and the Cocons or whatever they call it. Ah, my God. But yeah, so you enjoyed this episode.
I enjoyed the episode. Do not think it's very good, okay, but I did enjoy it.
Any other thoughts before we get to our ratings here?
No, let's move on.
All right. So I'm going to play an audio clip, and right after that, we're going to come back. Modi and I, we're going to give our ratings for Captain's Holiday.
I don't suppose there are any openings for an archaeologist aboard the Enterprise.
Somehow I doubt you'd find life aboard a starship suitable to your taste.
Probably not. I could never tolerate all that discipline.
Oh. So, what are your plans?
I thought I might explore the ruins on Sarthong 5.
Oh, unbelievable! You are out of your mind! The Sarthongians are merciless to trespassers!
Why, Jean-Luc, you really do care about me.
Promise me you will try and stay out of trouble.
I always try. I wish we had more time together.
Perhaps we do. The Vorgons are time travelers. Now they know where and when the Utat can be found. They may very well come back and try for it again.
So we may be doing this all over again.
Well, sir, Captain's Holiday, we've prefaced this one, or prefaced, I guess would be the better way to say that word, by saying that this is like a funny episode that's not particularly good. It's sort of an enjoyable episode
that's not good. And that gets a lot of credit with me as far as ratings, I think, as far as like, what do I want to watch in a Star Trek episode? It doesn't necessarily need to be the pinnacle of Star Trek episode. It just needs to be fun to watch, and that's what this is. So I'm going to go with a solid 3.5 again. Right. I like this one better than the previous episode, though, too. So I don't know if I can maybe drop that one last time back down.
But, oh, okay. I see.
I'm going to go like 3.5 on this one, probably. Yep. Also, yep.
I think I'm just the opposite of you. I like Allegiance a little bit better than this one. I think both of them are fairly middling. I'm going to give this one a 2. It's like a strong 2 would be my best way to describe it. Like, it's either a super weak 3 or strong 2. I think I feel better giving it a strong 2.
But you would never skip this episode if you're watching it through again. You'd still watch it.
Oh, that's hard to say. Like, I felt a little bit bored watching this one. Like,
oh, really?
I really liked the beginning. But once they start looking for the Tox Utat, I think it really gets kind of boring.
Yeah,
you didn't have that problem.
I don't know. I think that's where it's really getting into the Indiana Jones type stuff. He's got nice like big wide shots of them digging.
Yeah,
I guess it's not that exciting as I say it out loud. But
once Picard puts on that incredibly uncomfortable backpack that seems to be made out of plastic,
outfits look like Indiana Jones too. Oh man.
It all falls apart at that point. Yeah, I'm going to give this one a 2. I think if on my scale of whether or not you would show this to someone, this is a tough episode to show somebody if you were trying to make them
laugh at you.
Yeah, it's a little. This one's a little bit meta. You have to be familiar with the show to watch it to realize what it is.
That it's outside the norm
right.
for sure.
Yeah, so I think that's why it's going to be a 2 for me. I do think it's a thoroughly average episode, probably the same as Allegiance, but I have to knock it down a little bit. It's one I'd watch every once in a while. It's definitely not one of the worst of the season. I think it holds together fairly well. It's just doesn't really grab me. I don't know what it is.
I'd watch it again. I'll watch it again right now. I think it's fun.
Thank you very much. Well, guys, if you enjoyed the content today and you're watching on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, rating review helps to get the show out there. So, Modi, thanks for coming on again.
No problem.
Always good to have you back. We'll have you. We're rounding out the end of season 3, so we'll have you back on for an episode or two before season 3 wraps up. You can give a couple final thoughts on the episodes that you've watched for this season.
Sounds good.
Absolutely. Well, guys, if you want to check out Modi, I'll put a link to his YouTube channel in the description. You can also click the little annotation thing on YouTube. That'll bring you right there. And other than that, I'm going to be back next time with Tin Man. I don't know who's talking about that one with me, but we'll be on to Tin Man, and then we're slowly marching towards the end of season 3. So, Modi, thanks again.
Thank you.
And I will see you guys later.